Welcome to Salem First Assembly Podcast. May this week's message by Pastor Brian D. Corkin be a blessing to your life in helping you to grow in your understanding of God's Word, strengthen your faith, and equip you to become all that God has created you to be.
I want to talk to you this morning about part two, is how to conquer what's conquering you. I want you to think about the title, first of all, because we sometimes live our lives, and I have seen this over and over and over again, where people stay in the same spot, allow the same things to affect them, and honestly, there's just no change. There's just no change. They'll do a lot of complaining. They will do a lot of talking. They'll even recognize areas that need to change in their life. But the reality is that we are conquered by certain things in our life because, one, we continue to stay in the same position. And so I want to talk to you. Last week was on fear, conquering fear. Like I said, get the CD on that. But I want to talk to you today about how to conquer what's conquering you, and we're going to conquer worry. You might hear this. Worrying is the interest you pay on trouble before you get it. Mark Twain says this about worry. I am an old man, and I have known many troubles, but most of them never happened. Have that happened to you? You were worried about something, and voila, it never even happened. You wasted so much energy. There have been repeated studies that actually have come out with the same scenario. Listen to one study from University of Michigan. This is what they found. 60% of all our worries are unwarranted. 20% have already come to pass. They're past activities, things of the past. There's something that we cannot control, and they're over. And yet people still worry about it. 10% are so petty that they don't make any difference at all, whether they happen or don't happen. In the remaining 10%, there is this 10%, or I should say there's this 8% really of remaining that you can't do nothing about them whatsoever. It is what it is. But there's only 2% that this one study talks about that are legit situations where it's something to be very, very concerned with. It's a fluctuation on some studies between 2 to 4%. And what it has come down to is that this 2% of worry, but there's 98% that really things we should not be worried about. And really, it's a waste of your time, and it makes your life fruitless. It means that you're not going to produce something because you're so worried about something. You pace. How many have ever wore out a carpet just by pacing back and forth? You know, or you didn't eat because your stomach was so upset. Or you couldn't do this and you couldn't do this because you worked yourself up to a frazzle where you worried, and you actually get sick. Do you know a lot of worrying will actually make your body sick? A lot of stuff where your mind is so confused or so perplexed and so heavy that you get all kind of ailments in your body. I'll tell you what. If you can conquer this as a man and woman of God and understand that fear don't belong there and worry don't belong there and understand this, you will change your life. Now, I can come to you today and say, you know, I had some times in life that I was challenged in the area of whether or not I was going to trust God or I was going to worry about what was going to happen. And I have come to the conclusion that there's a lot of things in life that I can, even to you to this day, I could say this is an area where I could really worry about this situation and it could really grab hold of my heart. But I can also tell you that I have let it go so good that it does not even carry anymore on my heart. Now, I continue to pray about certain things, but it's no longer heavy anymore. Because in spite of the 2% of worrying that can be legitimate, we have to understand God does not want us to live on the avenue of fretful or the boulevard of anxiety. We as Christians, honestly, now listen to me now, you can listen and change your life or you can listen and live the same old way. You know what? The choice is going to be yours. Amen. But I will tell you this from personal experience. I have made major decisions and choices where it has made a difference in me. And I can tell you that my situations have not changed. But I have chosen to change me and the way I bring my thoughts, the way I bring my perspective, and most importantly, my attitude. And because of those things, I now live at a much higher level, and I have a much joyful heart. I really do. Corrie Ten Boom said this: when we worry, we are carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. That means you're carrying 2 days in one. And that's the reason why people who worry have heavy hearts, and they're just heavy, and they're just down, because they're carrying 2 days on the strength of this one day. So what I like to do today is I like us to consider the matter of worry. Now, if I was to say to you, how many of you have a habit of worrying, you probably could raise your hand. And I'm not going to ask that because you know. But can I just tell you before I start this portion this morning, that God doesn't want you to worry. God really wants you to understand He's bigger than this. He's bigger than whatever you face. And God really has given us a joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, if the joy is our strength, how do we live that way? How do we live with that strength? Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how to get that strength. We'll talk about how to get that peace. We'll talk about how to get that passion and that peace. Because the reality is this: God has something good for you, and the only way you can live in it is you have to partake of what He said. So, first of all, a life of worry brings inner turmoil. If you know anybody who has a habit of worry and a habit of this and a habit of that, you're going to understand that they're going to be emotionally unstable. They will be like a cork on an ocean, tossed and turned because they're going to be worried about this. They will even worry about someone else's problems and not even their own. They just have a habit of always worrying. And when we talk about worry, we have to understand, you know, different nationalities or different people groups see things differently. And I like this. The Greeks thought about worry as something that tears a man into two or drags him in opposite directions. Doesn't that worry do that? I think that's a great definition. When you're worried, you're dragged in opposite positions. It's like being torn apart. If one person was to grab one hand and the other another hand and just pull, how does that make you feel? Not very good. That's why I happened one time. Look, that's what happened. One guy pulled longer. You see, the Greeks had a good definition. The Latin word for worry suggests a turbulent force, responsible from the turmoil inside. The Latin said the word worry means that when you have a turbulent force inside, and it's because of worry. When you worry, there's something inside that takes place where you become full of anxiety. You become full of worry. You don't have peace. You can't sleep. Many times people say, Pastor, I can't sleep. First thing I say is, what's going through the mind? Most people can't sleep because they don't have peace, and the peace of God is not ruling and reign. Peace rules where God reigns. It's not just a saying, it's the truth. The Anglo-Saxon word for worry, this is great, and this is one that I usually use when talking about worry, is descriptive of a powerful gripping a man by the throat. It's like a wolf seizing a sheep. When a wolf sees a sheep, he jumps and he grabs right for the throat, and the wolf squeezes the throat and strangles the animal. You see a lot of animals, tigers do the same thing. They will try to go for the jugular and they will squeeze it. And the Latin word, Anglo-Saxon word for worry, is this strangling. It's this aspect of choking. And that's what worry does to you. It chokes you. It chokes you. So I want you to understand that worrying is being torn in different directions. And worrying is, in the aspect, a turbulent force or a choking that takes place where, you know, you're not going to have a happy day. You know the song, Be Happy, Don't Worry. If your rent is late and you have to vacate, don't worry, be happy. You see, that's a song, but the reality is that if you start worrying and worrying, it can affect your health, affect your mind, and your spiritual welfare. I want to challenge you this morning, because I took these each topics because I know that it's relative to all of us. Now, worrying is not scriptural. It is not scriptural. There is no scripture for worry that supports worry in the Bible. There's no scriptures that supports worry in the Bible. But when worry is looked at, it's always condemned in the scriptures. God says, do not worry. Pretty simple. Herbert Locker said this: when a Christian worries, he is living in the wrong climate. I know, like, some of you woke up this morning, wish you were in a different climate. But he says this, when a Christian worries, he is living in the wrong climate, for any kind of worry is foreign to the life of Christ. Meaning that when you're so concerned about something that's happening and you can't bring in the thoughts and the purposes of God, then that thought carries you away. And you actually put yourself, you create the climate in your life, in your mind, and everything that takes place. So you have to ask yourself, what type of climate do you normally create when things are going bad? What type of climate do you usually create when things are not going the way you want them to go? And that's going to happen in life. That's just the bottom line. Things are going to not go the way we sometimes want them. As long as we worry and live in anxiety, you will not experience the word called victory. And I'm believing with all my heart that you can go through difficult times and still have the peace, the joy, and the love of Jesus Christ. And you could do the same thing that Jesus did, that while he was on the cross, he was forgiven those in front of him. You could still be the messenger of God even when you're going through a dark night. Worry is wrong, and it's the wrong climate for a Christian. So take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Powerful portion of Scripture that talks about worry. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, or store in their barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important, valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field? They grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What should I wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be given unto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Is that not true? Each day has enough trouble of its own. So God wants you to take one moment at a time, one situation at a time, and invite him in. I like one of my favorite scriptures, and I know I have a few of them, but one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, to trust in the Lord with all thy heart, to lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So no matter what comes my way, I'm always trying to bring Jesus Christ into my life. I ask him to come into the present situation, to direct my steps. So first of all, I want to talk about life. Life of worry is needless. It's needless. I want you to understand that in verse 25, Jesus spoke of things. And I want you to talk that in the Bible, Jesus talks about five F's. In this portion of Scripture, quite a few of them mentioned, but this 5F Jesus always talks about. Listen to the 5S: food, fashion, fitness, finance, and future. 5 F's. In Scriptures, those 5 F's cover everything. But in Matthew chapter 25, he says this: "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat and drink and about the body and what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, the body more important than clothes?" There's a great command here. It says, do not worry. So let's practice this. Let's practice this command. It's in a command form, and he says it multiple times in this one portion of Scripture. Someone say, do not worry. Now look at someone and say, do not worry. Now, you know, do not worry. You see, here's the aspect that we can say, I know the Scripture says do not worry. I know what it says in Matthew chapter 6. Do not worry. Yes. And then something comes in our life, and what do? We worry. Why do we worry? Well, we're going to get there. But let's start off first. The first thing I want you to understand is that your worrying is needless. It should not be. Do not worry means do not be anxious. Jesus said we are not to worry about the things of life. You cannot control everything in life. But see, some of you out there are control freaks. So I talked to you this morning, you control freaks that like to have everything in control. And when it's not in control, you have a hissy fit. There's a Greek word. It's called relax. And the bottom line is that you bring more stress into your life because you're worried about the things that doesn't make a big difference in eternity. And it actually steals your joy, and you start to worry about things that in all reality, the devil steals your joy. And all of a sudden, you can have a bad day. Listen, I understand. I used to be a little bit of a control freak myself. But you know what? As I get a little older, I realize, and you know, it's not worth stressing out. It's not worth stressing out. What is better is giving it up and just enjoying the day. Because one day is a day to enjoy, not today to be in misery. So first of all, Jesus says, do not be anxious, do not worry. And he gives us an illustration, and I think this illustration is powerful. Look at verse 26. Because he's trying to say that your worrying is needless. And he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap or store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, you have to answer this question. Do you think you're more valuable than a bird? Yes. Now, you may not feel that sometimes. You may not feel that you're valuable. But see, that's your perspective. That's how you feel about yourself. And what you have to do is get God's perspective on you, not yours. Your emotions and your perspective will lie to yourself. You can say, you know, I'm not really that great of a person. Now, that's you saying that. You know, the best person to ask is ask someone who knows you. They may have a whole different aspect about you. You see, the best one is to ask God because God loves you. He loves you so much. He thinks you're just a great, he loves you because he created you. He wants that relationship with you. And the bottom line, he says, are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus points to the birds of the air and he says, don't worry about things, about those, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Listen, the Heavenly Father feeds the birds and they don't work. They have no bank account. They have no 401k, no 403b. They have no stocks. They have no money markets going on. They have nothing. They're not collecting big interest in the banks. And that's a big joke. Nothing's going on for them. And yet every day they eat and they sing and they whistle and they make sweet music and they're totally dependent upon the one who feeds them. And then God works through some of you. Let me feed the birds today, you say. Let me buy some seed for the birds because I like them around. You don't know that God's placed it upon your little tiny heart to say, why don't you feed the birds today? And you just think you want to do it. No, 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 no. Much bigger plan here. The scripture says God knows the needs of the birds and he feeds them. He's just using you. You see, if God is doing that for the birds, why do we think God's not going to do that for you? Oh, yeah, he'll do it for somebody else. Oh, he'll do it for that person because, you know, yeah, that person's special. So special. Well, baloney. He'll do it for you, too. Stop lying to yourself. Understand what God's word says. God says, look at the fields. Look at the birds. What a beautiful, awesome truth. The birds are not better than you. Jesus was saying that if God will take care of the birds, he will certainly take care of you. Therefore, it is needless to worry because you cannot change the present situation, but the God in which we believe can. Someone shout hallelujah. So you have to take this on. You want your life to change. You don't want to do the thing the same way. You don't want to see your emotions get out of control. Then start doing what God asks us to do. Start living the commands. It's not enough to know what you're supposed to do. Too many people know. Yeah, I know I shouldn't worry. Do you know how many times I've heard people say, listen, I'm born that way. I've been always worrying. You can't change me now. You don't know how I want to give them a sermon right there. Or as some would say, a lecture. I want a lecture big time. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Excuse me. That's a lie. Let me rephrase. We'll cut that out a little bit. Edit that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Now, the bottom line is this. Is that God wants to provide for you. He wants to be there. He wants to show you that he can take care of you. Look at verse 28 and 29. And why do we worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? And they don't labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even in Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If you ever seen the lilies of the field, if you ever seen the wild flowers that grow, it's just beautiful. Each flower so detailed. And yet, they grow in such a beautiful way. And God, in this illustration, is something. He said that they were not filled with anxiety or worry. They just grew. And here's Solomon, the richest man ever to live on earth, blessed with great wisdom and all of his decor. Yet what God did in the beauty of a field, natural beauty. You ever see something natural beauty? And you just go, ah. I'm looking forward this year to see Niagara Falls from the Canada side. I've always loved water flowing. And I can't wait to see Niagara Falls. Anybody ever remember the Three Stooges? Yeah. Niagara Falls. If you know the Three Stooges, you kind of know the joke there. You see, beauty. And God's saying, listen, in all of Solomon's splendor, the beautiful lilies of the field, the wild flowers, you know what? They were in majestic, and yet he said this, if he'll do that to the fields of great beauty, he'll do that to you. Now, I want you to understand, if the Father clothes the grass and the lilies of the field, and he loves you more than the birds of the air, will he not also take care of you? Will he? See, most people will say, yeah, God will take care of me. But as soon as you find yourself in a problem, you do not sing that song. You know what I hear sometimes? I hear this. I hear that as soon as the problem comes, the situation, they say, why God pick it on me? Why God doing this to me? And they blame God. They don't look to God. They blame God. It's God's fault. They're not blaming the devil. They're not blaming the fallen race that we live in. They're not blaming this fallen earth that we live in, this little dirt ball of a place that now has sin ridden, and even all creation mourns for the redemption of man. You see, they don't look to God. No, they blame God, and that's a different perspective. And so when you stop blaming God because this has happened and this has happened, you'll never get the answer from God because you're blaming him. But when you turn to God, that's when you get to see what God is doing. So what's the point here? God will take care of us. We do not have to worry about the things that come our way. God does not want us to needlessly worry about things that he said he'll take care of. Now, those who worry are usually worrying about things that are not really important. Let me go to the next step. So first, worrying is needless. Second, I want to talk about worry is faithless. Look what it says here in verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much clothe you? O you of little faith. Jesus said that worrying was a lack of faith. You know, I think that's the saddest words in the Bible when the Lord said to his disciples, O ye of little faith, how long should I suffer you? Now, all of us here, all of us could put our hands up and saying that there's times in our life that we had little faith. I love the story where a man wanted his son to be healed, and he says, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Because there's moments when things are heavy and we don't truly understand that we believe, but we're still struggling. And that's just the human side of us. But I think the response is to say, God, I do believe, but it's just so hard. That's a true prayer. And that's, I believe, how people really grow. But when you worry, you're really exhibiting a lack of faith. When we worry, we're showing our distrust and saying, God can't help us. And we blame God. And so we may not say it with our voice, but we do it with our action. When we are not pleased with God or God hasn't done what we think he should do, you know, we may not say, God, I'm disappointed in you. God, I'm kind of mad at you. We may not say that with our voice, but we do it sometimes with the way we act. And here, this lack of faith, he says, oh, ye of little faith. He said he would take care of us. He would meet our needs of our life. But we worry. We show a lack of faith in what he said for us to do. Let me share this story. It's a powerful, I love this story. A ship was sailing from Liverpool at New York. The captain of the ship had his family with him. The ship found itself in a terrible storm. The captain's little girl, about 8 years old, was awakened by a storm. What's the matter? She asked. Her mother told her they were in a terrible storm. The little girl asked, is my father on deck? Yes, your father is on deck, came the response. The little girl then laid her head back on the pillow and went back to sleep. I got some good news for you. Your father is on deck. I got some better news for you. Your father owns the deck. I got even better news. Your father owns the storm. I got some better news from you. Your father is in control of every storm. And in the midst of a storm, he'll teach us, he'll strengthen us, and he'll help us through the storm. And so if you learn something in the moment, you'll learn something from the master. But you can't learn something in the moment when you're blaming the master, because the master's plan is greater than our plan. The master's intellect is greater than our intellect, because he's infinite and we finite. I love the aspect, because this little girl could go back to sleep because, yeah, she was in a storm, but she knew as long as her daddy was in control and she trusted her daddy. And the spiritual content is that we have to trust our daddy, our heavenly father, our Abba father. George W. Truett said, the worry is in the, and you're going to catch this, and write this down, this is good, this will challenge you. George W. Truett said that worrying is a mild form of atheism. Let me just say that again, because some of you think, I can't believe the pastor just said that. George W. Truett, well, actually, George W. Truett said that worry is a mild form of atheism. When we worry, we are acting like there is no God. Just ponder upon that a little bit. Because, see, either we believe God or we don't believe God. That's just the bottom line. When you believe God, that's when God sees your faith and God honors your faith. He says, you know what? There's an individual there, just like we see in Scripture. You know, you look, we've been studying right now in the book of Noah. Well, not the book of Noah, book of Genesis, but the story of Noah. Life and lessons from the life of Noah. Incredible man that changed everything. We would not be here if it was not for that man who stood up, stood out, and stood firm on what God's word said. So we have to understand that God says that worrying is needless, it's faithless, and it's one more, it's useless. Useless. Has no purpose. It will not do anything for you. Verse 27, who of you by worrying can add one single hour to your life? Jesus was saying that worrying never, someone shout never as loud as you can. Never. Worry will never do anything profitable for you. It will tear you down and mess you up. It will never add one inch to your height, never calm a troubled heart. It will never dry a tear. It will never lift your burden, and it will never make a bad situation into a good thing. Jesus is saying worry is needless, faithless, and useless. Now, we have a choice of whether or not we're going to walk in that. You see, I want to tell you this, that you can be there for a moment. You have a moment. There's nothing wrong with having a moment. Someone just shout, moment. You see, there's a difference between a moment and a lifestyle. When things happen in life, you go through an emotional moment. And you have a moment. And then you have to readjust your what? Your thinking. That's when you have to raise up your faith. That's when you apply God's word. That's what changes us from the inside out. It's the word of God. Someone has said worry is like a rocking chair. It may give you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. And that's exactly what happens. An Italian proverb says 100 hours of worry will not pay 1 cent of your debt. Worrying does not help you. It will always hurt you. Worrying doesn't eliminate our problems, but it enlarges our problems, because you focus on the problem and not the solution to the problem. And what happens is the real power is in the Word of God, and the real problem is your mind. That's why we need to know how to conquer worry. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 really gives us instructions how to conquer worry, so that you no longer allow an emotion of worry, a moment of doubt, a moment of confusion, or even frustration in the midst, where you worry about something because you don't have control and you don't have the answers. And it controls you and it wears you down. It pulls your strength right from you, instead of you taking it to God and God filling you up. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to just say something here. I have learned that people who pray corporately, people who pray with other brothers and sisters, people who pray and on a consistent basis are not people who worry. Now, they may pray individually, but I have noticed over the years and years, I can say this now because these years are starting to add up, but over years and years here of watching people in life, those who have got into a lifestyle personally of prayer, those who have gotten to a lifestyle of corporately praying with brothers and sisters, are individuals who do not let worry consume their life. But I have seen from my personal experience that those who do not corporately pray with one another and do not have a daily, everyday prayer, they worry a lot more. Because prayer changes people. Because when you get in the habit of praying with one another, you have the source upward and then you have the source outward, and you pray, God just seems to come into the times of prayer. You're in corporate prayer all the time. Corporate prayer is powerful prayer. It really is. That's why the Bible says when two or more are gathered together, that's why he talks about there is prayer in the multitude. There's strength in the multitude because it's prayer. When there is a great need to take place, when there is a great need for a healing, I want a bunch of people coming together for prayer. I want to bring the bodies together for prayer because there's power there in unity prayer. You see, the first thing, the first steps that we see in this scripture, how to handle the worry, how to conquer the worry in life, is first turn to God with your concerns. The first thing you do is always up. It's not out. It's not get on the gossip line. It's not to get, got to tell this. No. It take it to God. Let God hear your concerns first. There's a right way of doing this thing. And it says, do not be anxious in anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. When you bring in petitions, whether it's privately or corporately, with thanksgiving, make your requests unto God. Take it to God. Take your concerns to God. Instead of worrying about anything, pray about everything. Instead of worrying about anything, pray about everything and turn to the Lord. A man once owed a great debt that eventually caused his death. He literally worried himself over the repayment of this debt, and it broke his health. His doctor said to him one day, "Sir, if you do not cease worrying, you're going to die." He said, "Why, doctor, as long as that debt is hanging over my head, I cannot help but worrying. I know the worrying is killing me." I want you to, his own words here. "I know the worrying is killing me, but you might as well go tell my cook to order the water in the kettle not to boil as to command my brain not to worry." I can hear people saying that to me. The problem is this. The man thought he had to carry the load himself. He bore the load instead of turning the load over to the Lord. He did not cast his cares, he carried his cares. And because he carried, it wore him down until it physically wore him to death. I believe with all my heart, many people have left this earth way before their time. And I know you're going to say the days are numbered, but there's also another portion of scripture that I can show you that decisions do make a choice in life. I think sometimes because of choices people make in life, it does. Though God knows your days, it does escalate them. Because of what we do to our body. It definitely hurts them in the type of level of health we live at. And so this man said, "Listen, you could tell the fire not to cause the water to boil, but if I have this debt, my brain's going to tell me about it." Well, they didn't cast it. Didn't take it to the Lord. And the first thing we need to do is take your concerns to the Lord. Number two, talk to God about your needs. Let God talk to him, just like I'm talking to you. "Let your request be made known unto God, for we are to go to God with our worries." We are to go with our concerns. We are going to the things that's heavy upon our hearts. Talk to God. He wants to hear from you. It tells us, the scripture says, listen, "Let your request be made known." Oh, but you know, the Bible says God already knows anyhow. Why should I bother telling God? Because God told you to. Because it's going to do more good for you than it is going to be for God. God wants you to confess it from your mouth. God wants you to talk to him. God wants you to communicate. He wants to hear from you. It's sort of like if you had a son, and you know your son or your daughter wanted something. Let's suppose you know they're going to want the keys to the car. You just know they're going to want the keys to the car. But you don't normally go, hey, here's the keys. No. You're going to wait to be asked. You're going to let them list it out. And you might say, well, why don't you empty the trash first? I don't know. That's probably like a that's me. I would probably do something like that. But the thing is, though, you already know what they're going to say. But you still wait until they finally ask you. God wants you to take the needs to the Lord. That's why he says, let your request be made known. If you want to carry and you don't want to cast, guess what? It's all on you. Is there something that's worrying you? Is there something that's pulling you down? You need to know God wants you to take it to him, your needs and your concerns. The way we conquer worry in our life is to take our fears, our cares, and our needs to the Lord. That's how we conquer. I've found this to be true in my life, that when I'm concerned about a matter, when I trace it back, I always trace it back when I have peace is because, one, I prayed about it. Two, I spent time with God. Or three, I focus on what God's word says about it. Or four, I stop thinking about the problem and I start thinking about what God says I can do. When I do those things, I receive victory. But what I have found is when I do not do those things and I start walking in my own ways and trying to figure it out in my own intelligence and my own experience, I find myself carrying a much heavier load than I'm supposed to. So I have learned to pray about everything. I have learned to spend my time with God before I meet the face of man. I have learned to keep my focus on what God's word says and to not think about the problems, but to think about what God tells me to do in the midst of a problem, which really changes my perspective, changes the way I approach things. And even when things are not the way I want them to be, I'm still in control of my decisions. I have to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. There's results now. This is beautiful part. Someone say, "This I'm ready for something beautiful." Oh, watch this. Look at Philippians 4:7. This is the results when you do it God's way. This is always the results when you do it God's way. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it again because it's just so good. And the peace of God, because when you're worrying, you don't have peace. You can't have peace and worry. It's just not going to be in the same room. You can't have fear and faith in the same room. One of them's going to conquer the space. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, meaning that God will work in such a way that doesn't even make sense. That's God. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God will fill the heart and the mind with peace that will then defend us from worry. And let me show you something here. God's peace, write this down, this is good. God's peace will gladden your heart. God's peace will gladden your heart. When our hearts are filled with God's peace, we have chosen to rely on God's power. Therefore, instead of worry, we worship. Instead of worry, we worship. Instead of a troubled heart, we turn it to a trusting heart. Catch this. Change your life. Instead of a grieved heart, we now take on the joy of a gladdened heart because we know who rules and who reigns. It strengthens our being because he is what he said he is, and he will do what he said he will do. That is the Lord in which we serve. We need to make the conscious decision not to worry, but then turn it and worship God. We need to make the conscious decision when our hearts are troubled, and it's not an if, it's a when. When our troubled hearts are troubled, that's when we have to take a troubled heart and start now taking God's word so we trust him. Though I walk through the shadow of death, valley of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hello, that's comfort zone. That's knowing that you're not alone. God is on the throne. I don't care what man may say, God is on the throne. We need to take his word again afresh. We can't let the devil steal our joys and lie to us in our ways. Take worry and bring it to worship. Take a troubled heart and just say, God, I trust you. Though I may be grieved, but I will be glad in you. When God's peace fills our hearts, there is a blessed calm in the heart. There's no more struggling. There's no more fighting or warring. But even in the midst of a storm, there is a calmness on the sea. God's peace will guard your heart. Now, let me just close this up here and share this. This is powerful. Because the word that God shall keep, that God shall guard, it's actually a military word. And it actually means that God will mount up a guard. There's going to be something that happens in the spiritual realm that God's going to do. That God, on God's behalf, as you trust him, he's going to step it up. And God's going to come in. God's peace acts like a sentinel army or a commander which mounts out guard or a patrol of your heart and mind and keeps us and shows us that you don't have to worry. I'm on the scene. And you know, when you know God's on the scene, you don't have to worry. It's like having Papa at the wheel of the helm. But we don't think Papa's at the helm. We don't think the Lord's over the seas. We don't think the Lord our God is over our problems, and then we're going to be a person who worries, frets, and frowns. God don't want us to live that way. God doesn't want us to be an emotional roller coaster. God doesn't want us to be an individual that says, God, I love you, but then on the opposite side is just so emotionally challenged because you allow the enemy to just take hold of. You have to take hold of those thoughts. You have to take hold of those emotions, and you need to apply the word of God. And when you do, that's when change will come. Listen to the scriptures. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace. Someone say perfect peace. Doesn't that sound good? Perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind, listen to where the mind is, because where your mind is where everything follows, whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord for a day. No. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Isn't that good? So God doesn't want you to fret. He wants you to have faith. God doesn't want you to have worry. He wants you just to direct it to him and worship. Proverbs 16:20 says, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. God has spoken so much to our hearts that we are not people who worry, who get all bent out of shape because something's taken place. And I have seen it over and over again. Listen, the only way you're going to change your life is by you making the right decisions. The only way you're going to change your life is by you applying the word of God to your heart and life. When you take the scripture, you take Matthew chapter 6, you take Proverbs chapter 3, you take Philippians chapter 4, and you apply them to your life, and then your life will change. But when you don't apply the word of God, you will just stay in the same predicament. You say, I'm not going to worry no more. Praise God. I like yes. And when problems come your way, you're going to have to make sure you change the way you think, because it's your thinking that will sink the ship. It's your faith that will cause that ship to ride any wave that comes its ways. Because greater is he than in you than he that's in the world. And the one in the world wants to rock your boat. But the one we serve is in the boat.
We hope you were encouraged and blessed by this week's message. If you would like to know more about Salem First Assembly, you may email us at salem1assembly@comcast.net. That's salem1assembly@comcast.net. Check out our Facebook page at Salem First Assembly, or go to our website at salemfirstag.org. We look forward in hearing from you. Join us again next week for another message from Pastor Brian D. Corkum.